Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Sid Garza-Hillman. I'm here doing my weekly interview. And this week, well, I'll first say that I'm the author of Approaching the Natural, a Health Manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press, all over wherever. And also own Transitioning to Health, a nutritional consultation company. And I do speaking and all that kind of stuff. But anyhow, today I am sitting with, not literally with, but figuratively with, Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, author and speaker, and I am really excited, and I want to begin just quickly by thanking Colleen. She agreed to do the interview in English, which is cool because I know the French don't like, you know, using English a lot, and so she's agreed to do that. So I really appreciate that, Colleen. Thank you and welcome.
That's my husband's side of the family. That's not
me.
Oh
my God. Okay, I did not do due diligence on the research for this. So you're one of us then.
I'm the Patrick part.
Oh, good. Oh, okay, great. Okay, well, anyhow, so I guess moving on, but I need to change my questions all of a sudden. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start. I want you to introduce sort of what you do, although I'm kind of take. But I want to start by asking you this, because this is by way of leading into what I come across in my own practice, and you and I are in similar fields, obviously. You're what they call more successful, but I want to just kind of lead in to say, what did you do today? What did you, when you woke up this morning, what did you do? What did you eat? What have you done?
Interesting. Okay. So I woke up, and the first thing I do is I go downstairs and I get my cats fed. And I feed myself. So I had a couple cups, actually, of green tea, and I had oatmeal with almond milk and an apple. And then I meditate, and then I get right to work. I used to resist that because I always thought that I should kind of transition into it, but truly, morning is my most creative time, so I love getting right to work. So in the time since I've woken up and spoken to you, I got about halfway done through writing my next podcast episode, and then I'm here with you. So I'm able to get a lot done in the morning.
And do you craft your podcast to the word, or you just sort of make talking point notes?
To the word.
To the word. Wow. Okay.
To the word. Yeah, I mean, what I'm told is that you don't know that when I'm reading it, because it sounds very conversational, hopefully. But
yeah.
But it's all written out before I record.
Oh, okay. Awesome. See, I don't prepare at all. And it does sound like that, also. So that's kind of where my style is. The reason I ask you what you literally do is because I get that a lot. And what this is bridging into is, obviously, I want to really focus on the 30-day vegan challenge, which is kind of where you're at right now. But I think when I'm a nutritionist, you know, that's mostly what I do, but really have evolved over the years into an all-around health coach, you know, including things like meditation and exercise. But I think because I live what I espouse, people do ask that question, like, okay, you know, that all sounds good, vegan 30-day, but literally tomorrow I get up and I don't even, it just freaks people out. And that's why I really want to know, like, you know, you're a cook, you're a chef. So, you know, I work at the Stanford Inn, the Wellness Center. We have a vegan restaurant, and I get people on time to time say, you know, it'd be great to eat like this, but I don't have the time, as if, you know, to eat vegan, you have to prepare fine dining. So I think it's really telling that you get up and have oatmeal. You're not like opening one of your books and making a, you know, an 8-course breakfast, because that's how you have to live every day, you know, and you're making it very easy for yourself. And I think people want to know, is it easy to do what you do, or do they have to turn their lives upside down?
Of course, and that's why I do what I do as an advocate. And that's, you know, you called me a cook, you called me a chef. I don't think I really own those terms, because I really see myself as an advocate. And so all of the work I do around food is to give people those tools so that they don't feel that this is daunting. So through the books, through my podcast, through the 30-Day Vegan Challenge, et cetera, it's all to give people the tools to make this feel less intimidating. And so the whole point that I make in my work, in the recipes, et cetera, is that this is not so different from what you're already doing. It's just shifting your gaze. And let me and give you some resources to help you do that. And I, and especially my recipes, I mean, I do walk the line. I want people to raise the bar a little bit more and get into the kitchen and commit to 15 minutes in the kitchen, which is high compared to zero, right?
Right.
So, so I am asking them to do something a little different than what they're doing, but that's okay. They can take it. I'm not asking them to be in the kitchen for an hour. So it's really walking the line where I want people to get back in the kitchen, but I'm not saying you have to be in there forever, and you certainly don't have to become a certified chef. You don't have to become professional, but let's raise the bar. Let's stretch our comfort zones. And I think that's why I've that's why I think people respond to the work that I do, is because I'm talking to them where they're at, and I'm also raising the bar and saying, you know, I'm going to have some expectations of you, and you can do the same, and that's okay. And when you do that, you actually see some great benefits.
And you can and you make the point. See, So I'm going to list out the things, the books that you've done, just so people can know to look out for them and everything. The 30-Day Vegan Challenge, is that, that's a, right now a, how would you describe that? It's a online, how would you, what's the...
Completely an online program. Yeah,
online,
no,
program.
It's
okay.
Not a book. It's completely
right.
An online program.
And I
want
to get into
challenge.
That a little deeper. But then you have the Vegan's Daily Companion, Color
mm-hmm.
Me Vegan, The Vegan Table, The Joy of Vegan Baking. And then do you still have the Vegetarian Food for Thought podcast? Is that what you call it? Is that what you're working on now?
Oh, yeah. I'm just writing out the 7-year anniversary podcast right now.
Wow, 7-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Well done. So,
thank
Color
you.
Me Vegan. What color mm-hmm. is vegan?
So Color Me Vegan is a cookbook that is literally broken up by color. So each chapter is a different color. So it's really encouraging people to eat by color as much as possible, because obviously that's where all of the phytonutrients are and the antioxidants, et cetera. So one chapter is yellow, one chapter is green, one chapter is blue and purple, one chapter is orange, et cetera. So that's the principle behind Color Me Vegan. And it's a beautiful book with lots of really accessible, delicious, familiar, really whole foods-based, nutrient-dense recipes.
Now, do you, I kind of know the answer to this only because I have a buddy, Barry Horton, who's in, I think he has a recipe in Color Me Vegan. Is that correct?
Oh, my gosh, that's right. Oh, gosh, now you put me on the spot. I love Barry, and now I can't remember which one was his.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to know which one. But do you...
I'm remembering. I think it was in the orange chapter.
in the orange chapter. But do you work typically with other... cooks and chefs, when you do, do you do compilations of recipes, or are they mostly your own that you invent yourself?
Yeah, they're mine. And I just, whenever I do cookbooks, I always reach out to people I adore, and I want to include, you know, their work and their creativity, especially people who are in the field. So I usually reach out to friends and colleagues and ask them if they want to contribute a recipe. But I test those too, and tell them I'll probably modify it a bit, or possibly modify it a bit. But yeah, they're mostly my recipes.
And what is do you have formal training as a cook, chef?
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
So, I mean, which is great.
Not.
I mean, I love that answer, right? Because then I find sort of, now that my book's out, people are kind of, there are a portion or a percentage of people who are looking for an excuse they want to improve. They want to change their lives, maybe, let's say, but they're sort of looking for the easy excuse to not do that. And I think that there's a new movement of people out there. You're obviously, you know, in the forefront of saying, I'm not going to let you off with that. Like, this isn't about everybody can do this. There's no excuse not to. So I'm going to bridge into my next question, which is, what part does nutrition play, what percent in the, let's say, the vegan, 30-day vegan challenge, what proportion of the message that you put out to be a vegan for 30 days has to do with nutrition versus animal rights versus the environment? What is the picture that you sort of push, not push through, but offer to people who are looking to change?
Yeah, so I would say that if you want to kind of categorize my work, I think what I really spend a lot of time on is not the why vegan, but the how vegan. So I presume that you already know why vegan by the time you come to me.
Okay.
And that even means I'm compelled to be vegan. I know it's the right thing to do. I know I'll feel better. I know people say they'll feel better. I don't want to hurt animals. All those things that just says – you know, they just say, I'm interested in this. They find me. And certainly I talk about all of the joys and benefits of living vegan, but I don't talk about the nutrition the way a nutritionist would, in the sense of, oh, no, if you do this, you're going to feel this way, and you're going to feel great, and you're going to lose weight, and you're going to have this and that. I don't make promises. What I do is say, oh, your concern is protein. Oh, your concern is calcium. You don't think you're going to get enough iron. You don't think you're going to get omega-3 fatty acids. Let me just dispel those myths for you so that you can feel confident and you can do it with ease and with great health. So that's what I do, is dispel the myths, dispel the fears, so that people can do it confidently. And I say, you know, and you'll see yourself. I'm not going to make any promises. You'll see yourself. I do talk about the very real, tangible, measurable benefits, that the fact is, you know, if you're putting into your arteries, you know, artery-clogging fats from animals, you're going to have high cholesterol, you're going to have high blood pressure, you're going to have high glucose, all those things. When you put in those things that actually increase blood flow and don't hinder it, you're going to lower your cholesterol. So I will talk about it in that way, but I don't talk about it in some great, you know, this is the end-all, be-all, and you're never going to get sick again. And I don't feel comfortable with people who make those kinds of promises, because I don't think it's responsible and I don't think it's true. And that's why people who've been vegan or are vegan or been vegan a long time, if they get a cold, you know, people immediately say, oh, but you're vegan. Maybe it's because you're vegan that you
that's
have a
right.
cold. Or, oh, I thought you were vegan. You're never going to get sick. No, I'm human.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to be vulnerable to the things that we're vulnerable to. But it's true that, you know, since I've been vegan, which is now I'm going on to 14 years, when I do get a cold, it doesn't last as long, it's not as severe, et cetera. But the idea that it's some, you know, panacea is problematic for me. I don't appreciate that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I also find that it's just sort of that it's what I was saying, which is that people are sort of looking for an excuse, you know, not to do it and go like, oh, well, they got sick. You know, I like the you know, I have three children who are, you know, 100% plant-based and have always been, except for human breast milk, you know, and they're perfectly healthy, you know. Do they get colds? Yeah, you know, and it's like, what kid doesn't get colds? But like you said, it doesn't flatten them. But I get this sort of like, oh, I bet you have to be really careful, you know, and sort of what I respond is, you know, the health of this country is going way downhill, and it's not because of the 0.2% of people who are, you know, plant-based. You know what I mean? It's like the amount of diseases on the rise is mind-blowing, and as a culture, we're not, you know, not even close to being plant-based.
Well, isn't it sad, too, you know, the people who say, I mean, I have people in my life who I won't mention, my in-laws, who say things like, you know, because they're on different kinds of medication, they are overweight, they are on blood pressure medication and cholesterol medication, et cetera, and they'll say, well, we're a lot healthier than lots of our friends. We haven't been in the hospital yet. They've had surgery. And I'm thinking, can we have a different bar? Like, that's your bar? If you compare yourself to sick people, you're going to come out looking really good. But if you compare yourself to well people, you might have some work to do. And it really is interesting how people, you know, they find a place that, you know, allows them to just sleep at night and not do too much. But I don't really think people are comfortable there, Sid, and I think you'll probably agree. I think people, the excuses are there because they're not comfortable where they're at, and they do want to make a change. And the best thing about being able to say to someone, I don't know, being vegan is wonderful. Are you going to be a perfect person and never harm an animal? You know, I mean, of course, it happens unconsciously, or never get sick again. No, but my goodness, there are so many wonderful benefits that it's worth it for a thousand reasons, even if you're not going to be perfect. And I think that's what makes people go, oh, it's kind of like, the quote that I always say is, don't do nothing because you can't do everything. Do something, anything. And what's so beautiful about that is that you think that would give people the license to do anything, to then go, oh, well, if I can't do everything, I'm only going to do as much as I really think I can. What it actually does is give them license to not feel that they have to attain perfection, and so they wind up doing the best they can, and they wind up going farther than they thought they would. So it's beautiful. I love watching people go through their own transformations. It's a beautiful thing.
Right. And I do think that, you know, that also relates to, you know, sort of the argument like, well, we're living longer than we ever have, you know, and then but that doesn't speak to quality of life. And I think what you're getting at is a bigger picture, which it's funny because like when I started out as a nutritionist, I was sort of, you know, personally doing the other things that I think are involved in health, but as a nutritionist, I was sort of like, you know, starting out doing consultations with people and really just kind of about the food. And I'm like 99.99% food and like 0.001%, you know, pill, you know, and like mm-hmm. only when necessary kind of B12-y kind of stuff now and then. But it was like within a, you know, 2 months where I was like, I've got to broaden the scope here, because it was so much of the decision that to change, you know, to become, and I'm sure you come across this, I really want you to address this heavily, that to change your diet, even if you come to me with a heart attack or cancer or something, and you know that you've got to do some things differently, that you're giving up. That you're giving up something to do that, mm-hmm. that you're giving, mm-hmm. I'm
right.
giving up, I'm going to have to do this. And it's like this horrible thing, and I want you to speak to, Do you? I know the answer, but I want you to speak to it. Do you think that people are giving up something by becoming vegan? What are you giving up in your life to do that? Or are you gaining?
Oh, yeah, you're giving up pretty much everything. No, of course not. Yeah, it is so interesting.
Don't do it.
Yeah, you're just forget. Don't even go there. I mean, you're giving up friends and family and your favorite dishes. Yeah, I mean, it really is true. And I mean, I really think because of the way that's the language, and I don't know how much you know about my work, but language is a big part of my work and the way we talk about things. And we do use language that implies that when you make a change that's for the better for yourself, for the animals, for the environment, that you're sacrificing something, that it's a burden. And that language is in there when people say things like, oh, I could never live without cheese, or, oh,
right.
God, you know, when I gave up this and that, et cetera. And so, you know, my language doesn't even come close to that. So the language with which I talk about this wonderful transformation is very positive. It's very much about abundance rather than sacrifice. And that's because that's the truth for me, and I think that's the truth for most people. And when you give them the information in that context, I think it's much more positive for them. And so, you know, what you gain, you know, I mean, it does require letting go of some old notions. It requires letting go of some things that we've held on to. But what I get to, and I talk about this in the so in the 30-day vegan challenge, for instance, there's a day called There Is Life After Cheese. And I spend a lot of time before I even get to talking about, you know, the fat and salt that is really what we're trying to get when we say we like cheese so much. It's really the
right.
fat, it's really the salt. Before
That's
I even talk
part.
About the mouthfeel and the ways to get the fat and salt through plants, before I even get there, that's kind of like the afterthought. What I talk about is how these cravings that we talk about, these things that we say we could never live without, or the favorite recipes that we grew up with, or our grandmother's macaroni and cheese, or our favorite
the nostalgia aspect
cheese.
Of food, yeah.
It's the nostalgia. And what I talk about is that it's a comfort that we're getting from those foods. We associate the comfort with those foods. It's not the food. If the comfort aspect for us growing up was miso soup, then we would associate comfort with miso soup. It's not the miso soup, it's the associations with it. And so I talk a lot about, there's nothing wrong with wanting comfort. There's nothing wrong with wanting something rich and feeling, you know, really, really comfy and feeling really warm and all of the things that might be evoked when you think about your favorite macaroni and cheese. But that's my point, is that's what we're actually seeking. And so when we say that we're craving cheese, oh, I could never give that up, well, what is it that you're really, what's really going on? And then I also say, well, what are you really craving? You're not craving the cheese. You're not craving the meat. You're craving the fat. You're craving the salt. So, you know, where can you get those things? Oh, in nuts, in seeds, in avocado, in, you know, a smoothie with peanut butter, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, all the ways that we can still get the richness and the fat and the salt without going for what was just the normal source for us. We all kind of grew up in the same culture where the source of the fat and salt and comfort happens to be animal products. But if we're seeking fat, salt, and comfort, we can obviously find them in plant foods. It's just a matter of shifting our gaze. And people need someone to guide them there, to say, no, look over there. You've never looked over there before. You've only looked over here because that's what you were taught, and that's what our society constantly reinforces. But, hey, look over there. And then people go, oh, I never even looked over there before. So thank you, and now let me go find my way. So that's kind of how I see my work, is I'm kind of that guide pointing in different directions that they've never seen before.
It's such a great point, and I have to deal with that a lot, you know, personally also. I mean, professionally, but also as well. How do you tackle the I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do this for myself, but I've got a family, you know, I've got a husband, I've got a wife, and they're not into this, and they don't want to change. What they're not ready for this change. How do you walk that line?
Well, that question could come in a couple different forms, right? If it's a mother, and I say mother because the women are still the ones cooking in our homes. If it's the mother, how do I deal with it? Because, you know, what winds up happening is the person who's the main cook tends to then become a short order cook, right? And then they're like taking orders.
This for this person, this for this person, yeah.
Exactly. And
yeah.
That, you know, I'm not a mother of human children. I understand that there are demands that people are making on you all the time, and you want to satisfy everybody and you want to make people happy. But truly, women, mothers, fathers, cooks in the house, you're not short order cooks. And the truth is, if it tastes good, they will eat it. If they feel it's satisfying, it's familiar, it's delicious, they will eat it. If they don't, you know, you deal with that even if it's something animal based and they don't like it.
Right.
I mean, you deal
right.
with that, whatever. You find ways that everybody's going to like it. So on one hand, I just say, you know, find foods, you know, especially if you're transitioning, that are familiar, meals that are familiar. You don't have to take it away. You're not taking, that's part of the thing though, right? Is that if people have the perception that they're taking something from their family,
right,
then they're going to have a very different
earlier.
Experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If your perception is I'm giving them something and I'm gifting them with something and this is all positive and this is all good, then that's going to be your experience. And you know, they might hem and haw, but still your whole perception is no, this is fantastic. So make it familiar, have a positive attitude. I also do recommend that people don't say, have this new meal that I've made. It's vegan. I know you've never had it before, but try it. I think you'll like it. Blocks will go up as soon
right.
as you say something like that, just automatically. Just make it nonchalant. Just say, oh, here's dinner, and isn't it wonderful? And what is it? Oh, well, it's pasta and marinara sauce. You don't have to say that you've used some frozen thawed tofu in it to make it, you know, to have that chewiness. So make it familiar. But as far as, like, not the cooking stuff, when people are not coming along with you, truthfully, the experience that people have when they first become vegan is very different than the experience you have when you've been vegan for about a year, 2 years, 3 years, so on.
Got it.
People have to adjust. People who become vegan, they go through a whole process. We go through a process. We go through a process of learning, of changing, of letting things go, of adding new things. And then by the time we get to our family and friends, we go, this is who I am. This is where I'm at. And everyone goes, what the heck is going on? And then we get impatient because they're not where we are. Well, they haven't had the time to adjust. They haven't had their own process. So we have to let them have their own process. And I promise that process will come and things will change. But we have to just kind of do our thing, let go, and not expect everybody to be where we're at that moment. It will come. They will be inspired.
And especially when, you know, the thing, you know, living by example thing. You know, you then all of a sudden people are like starting to ask you, like, well, what's going on? Like, you lost that weight. How'd that happen? You know, your skin looks better. What's going on? You know, I had a friend over a couple years ago with her daughter, and we were putting out some cereal for the kids, and we had hemp milk, and I just poured the hemp milk in her daughter's bowl, and she turns to her daughter. She goes, I want you to try this. It's not the kind of milk that we have in our house, but I want you to see if you're going to like it. And I was like, oh, it's done.
You're
give
right.
me the bowl. I'll eat it myself. You know,
exactly.
Kid's like 8 years old. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, that was a kind of a losing battle there. Okay, so next question, which is it's as if we rehearsed this because you completely transitioned me to my next question anyway. It was seamless. So thank you. So the next question is the next 30-day vegan challenge. And that, by the way, you can have that for free because that's going to be your next program, I think. The next 30-day vegan challenge. How is 30 days enough? Well, let me start with this. I sign up for the 30-day vegan challenge. What do I literally see? I sign up, I go online, I sign up, and I hit play. What is your thing there? And also, is 30 days enough? Do you have people retaking it and doing another 30 days? Do you feel like that's enough to sort of get them to the next level?
Yeah, well, the 30-day concept, and actually there's a video up on the site right now talking about why 30 days.
Will you tell your site real quick?
Oh, so, well, 30dayveganchallenge.com is where they can find literally the 30dayveganchallenge.com.
Okay.
My general website is compassionatecook.com. They can find everything there. But the 30-Day Vegan Challenge, you sign up, and the whole principle is that we're talking about habit changes. And that's what I was saying before. It's about shifting your gaze and learning new things. And so the idea is, you know, most behaviorists agree that it takes 3 weeks to change a habit. I like a full 30 days to just give you everything you need. So that's why I chose 30 days, because I think that gives us enough time to change our habits and our perceptions, but it also gives me the time to really address all of the concerns and questions that I know people have. So once you sign up, you get a welcome email, gives you the login information, and every day you go to this website where each day you get new content. It's either in the form of written content and recipes and resources, or it's a video message from me where I'm in the supermarket with you and taking you around so you can see all the things that you've never seen before. It's one day is reading labels. It's a video, so you can we talk about what to look for on labels. Or you might get audio messages from me, podcasts from me. So every day you log in, and you have new content that's available to you. So day four, you know, isn't available to you until you're on day four. But once it's available, that's part of the repertoire you have. And so by the end of the 30 days, you've built this whole repertoire of information and videos and audio podcasts that you have to keep forever and ever and ever. So people can go back anytime they want. And unless they tell us to cancel their account, which nobody does, but everybody can go back anytime they want and rewatch videos and re-listen to podcasts, get recipes, you know, or get even new recipes because I'm updating content all the time as well. So that it's theirs to keep for forever and ever. And then, you know, obviously I'm giving lots of other resources in the meantime, other people's works, but also my podcast. As I said, I've been doing it for 7 years, and so people go find, you know, more resources because there is so much to say. And truthfully, they do get everything they need in the 30 days, but in terms of what they keep needing after 30 days, I would say more than anything, it's the social aspect. It's the community they want to be part of. It's people who are like-minded in their life. And that's what I try to build through 30 Day. There's a whole discussion area. People can meet each other who are doing the 30 Day, even if you finished it. And then through my own work and my own podcast, they can find one another and find community.
That's amazing. How long did that take you to put together? It's such so comprehensive.
It is. I mean, the whole thing has been, you know, culmination of years and years of work. The actual putting it together, I would say, I mean, a year or two, you know, shooting the videos and editing the videos and writing all the content. It took a while, but it's the culmination of years of my work.
Right. So you serve as sort of like the pace car for you know, for that. You kind of sit, you're like, follow me. Here's my pace. And follow me along. Here's what I do in the market, and here's how I cook, and here's what you guys can do. And it kind of takes you through that 30 days.
Yeah, I'm literally that guide. I mean, I'm really there with you, holding your hand. And I don't mean that condescendingly. I mean
I had to use the pace car. I had to use the pace car reference because I have a huge NASCAR following. So I just wanted to.
That's fantastic. I have no idea what you were talking about when you said that, but I got the
like
context.
In the Indy 500, there's like a pace, you know, will get you out there and make you keep your speed.
I got it.
Yeah, so you're like, here's how, you know, I'm keeping you going every day. You wake up and you log in, and I'm keeping you in that thing. You're the pace car.
I'm a pace car.
You're the vegan pace car.
I'm the vegan pace car. I'm going to use that from now on.
Veganpacecar.com.
No one in my audience will know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to teach them.
I want
I
you
just
to.
Learned.
Right, and it's because NASCAR is the next burgeoning vegan community.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, well, this is so cool. And I want to just make sure we kind of mention your websites at the end of the thing too. I want to make one last comment and see. I read that you were referred to as the vegan Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Is that true? Okay. I was thinking it would be better for you PR, and you can take this with a grain of salt. I think it would be better if people called Martha Stewart the breastfeeding from a cow calling Patrick Goudreau.
Wow.
Right?
I didn't know you were going there.
Well, that's where I went.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like
because
it.
I think it's time. Because you're the next, this is the, Martha Stewart's, you know, she's like the old guard. You're like the next, you're the next thing.
I like it. Let's talk to Martha's people and see if she'll accept that.
That's fine. I'll take care of it from my end. I have a lot of clout.
Okay.
I want to thank you so much. This has been really fun, and I hope I didn't, I don't know what I did. Anyhow, I really appreciate your time,
You're
Colleen.
Great.
It was a pleasure meeting you, and I'm going to rip down your books real quick so people know. And 30-Day Vegan Challenge, that's your website, and it's 30daveganchallenge.com.
Mm-hmm.
The books are Vegan's Daily Companion, Color Me Vegan, The Vegan Table, The Joy of Vegan Baking, and she has a Vegetarian Food for Thought podcast. She's all over the place on Amazon. CompassionateCook.com is her own website. And is there anything else that you want to let us know that you got in the pike coming?
Oh, I'm working on lots of stuff. I'm working on a book series right now. People can find out about it if they go to my website. And I'm working on a TV show, but I can't talk about it.
All right.
We'll talk about it. Tell me again, what was the name of your book?
My book is called Approaching the Natural, A Health Manifesto, and it is in stores actually now. And I'm also the programs director at the Mendocino Center for Living Well at the Stanford Inn, which is a vegan resort on the Mendocino Coast. And that's where I met you in person, and I hope to meet you again soon in person. And I really, really appreciate your time.
Me too. Thank you, Sid, and congratulations to you on your book. It's really
Thank
exciting.
You. I'll talk to you soon. This is Sid Garza-Hillman for Rare Bird Lit signing off. Thank you very much.